To God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loves us. God loved us and chose us in advance in Christ to be holy and without fault. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. Flip over to verse 22 and 23 of chapter 1. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. And then across the page to the right, verses 19 to 22 of chapter 2. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Would you pray with me? Father God, we give thanks for Jesus, your living word, and for Scripture, your written word. We come again deeply dependent on your Spirit for the help we need to really hear and understand and obey whatever it is you want to say to us today. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit and be our teacher. Amen. Well, as Rob just shared with the children, we're beginning this series, which grows out of a conversation that Chantel and myself and Chris and a few other people from the Morning Congregation have been involved in since last November. The elders invited us to be part of a strategic planning team. We got together and had a series of conversations. We looked at the our previous mission and vision, and decided we wanted to do some revisions around that. We thought we would keep the old vision, the old mission, but the previous vision was quite long and cumbersome, and so we decided we wanted to develop something more succinctly. And then, in addition to that, we decided to develop or identify a series of values that would describe who we are currently as a community and who we want to be. And so we put that all together, offered it to the community in a survey for feedback, did some tweaking, and then presented a report to the elders. And we determined that growing out of that, we haven't adopted the whole strategic plan as yet, but growing out of that, we would launch into this series over the fall to help both our morning and evening congregations begin to understand some of the rationale for it, and to invite you to consider embracing this. So, vision, mission, values. What do we mean by those? Briefly, vision is what we want to look like, who we want to be. Mission is why we're here, what we're about, what we want to do. And then values, we would say, are principles and practices which are informed by our mission and which are informed by our vision and which guide our mission. This sort of language isn't something I've grown into it here at Emmanuel, but it's not something that I have been raised in or steeped in or anything. It's at one level, it's business language that the church has bought into, but it helps us to have a framework for thinking around our things. Although mission is a Christian term. God is a God on mission, and we're people on mission as well. So here's our original vision, which we're holding on to. And I get that some people think this is longer and cumbersome and would like it shortened, but we wrestled with that as a team and decided we would keep it. Emmanuel Baptist Church exists to fully love God and all people for God's kingdom, pleasure, and glory. And the fully love God there is drawn from Jesus' summary of all of God's commands boiled down to two: love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love neighbor as yourself. And I mean, for Jesus, love is at the core of who we are and what we're to be about as his people. He didn't just teach about love, including love for enemies, which most of us really, I mean, some of us struggle to love the people we like, far less loving our enemies. And yet, for Jesus, love is at the core of what it means to be his follower. And as we try to live into this as imperfectly as we can, we're seeking to follow Jesus in this invitation to love, as difficult as it is. So love's at the core of what we want to be about, and we're striving to fully love God and all people for his kingdom, pleasure, and glory. So that's the mission. Our old vision was long, three paragraphs long, and we decided we wanted to develop something more succinct, and so we came up with three hyphenated terms: God-dependent, Jesus-rooted, and Spirit-led. And when we sent this out to the community back in June, we constructed two sentences, more descriptive, more flowery, and invite people to comment on them. And all through the survey, they were sort of neck and neck. Some people appreciated one, others appreciated the other, and we had no clear winner. I think about 20% said they didn't care for either of them, and the other 80%, about 40, 41%, 40.5%, 41.5% voted for either. And so we decided to get rid of the flowery language and say these three terms are what we want to invite our people into. So that's our vision. And then there's values. We developed a series of nine values, which we feel to some degree describes who we are as Emmanuel, but we also want to aspire and to live into these more fully. Scripture, prayer, generosity, diversity, community, creativity, outreach, justice, and love. And we're going to be unpacking those over the next 9 weeks in that order. I will start next week, so you get a double dose of me. On scripture, Chris will do prayer, Rob will do generosity, and then we'll begin the sequence again. I will do diversity, Rob will do community, Chris will do community, Rob will do creativity, and then I'll do outreach, Chris will do justice, and Rob will wrap it up with love, just in time for Advent to begin. Now, here's what I would describe the relationship as I understand it between these three set of things. Our vision, for me, is foundational. Our vision is who we are. If we're going to engage in the other two aspects, in the values and the mission, we have to be rooted in the vision. And so the vision for me is foundational, to be God-dependent, Jesus-rooted, Spirit-led. If we're going to love God and all people with all our mind, soul, heart, and strength, we need to engage in being God-dependent, Jesus-rooted, and Spirit-led. And the values grows out of the vision. The vision gets expressed in the values, and then together, vision and values gets expressed and flow into the mission. That's the best I can describe that for you. If you need to keep them apart, if you think having that is helpful, you can choose where you want to go with that. But I want us to linger this evening over the vision, these three terms: God-dependent, Jesus-rooted, and Spirit-led. I want to invite you to notice first the Trinitarian focus, because for me, that's important. As Christians, we worship a God who is named and described in Scripture as Father, Son, and Spirit. And some churches, I think, fixate on one person of the Trinity, often to the diminishment of the others. Not necessarily they ignore them altogether, but you can become, Pentecostals can focus on the Spirit so much that God the Father and Jesus get eclipsed, and Baptists sometimes can focus so much on Jesus that the Spirit gets ignored altogether. And in the morning community, we just went through a series on Acts, and one of the things I really appreciated about that was the opportunity to revisit the work of the Spirit again and again and again, because the Spirit is the primary actor in the book of Acts. And whether we're Baptists or whoever else we are, we can't ignore the Spirit. We need to be Christocentric, as Gordon Smith says to me. We're Trinitarian, but Christocentric. Christ is at the center, but we engage God the Father and God the Son holistically. And so I appreciate, first of all, that this is Trinitarian. We want to be a church that is robustly Trinitarian. We want to contemplate and celebrate God in three persons, blessed Trinity. We want to consider and cooperate with the triune God in the work that he's up to in our world. And so, first, foundational, it's Trinitarian. But in addition to its Trinitarian emphasis, there are three images or metaphors or pictures of the church that would undergird the three statements. And the reason we went to Ephesians this evening is because those terms come together in Paul's letter to the Ephesians very, very nicely. You'll find them scattered elsewhere in Paul's letters, but they come together because Ephesians is all about the church. Ephesians is this rich and lovely description of this community, this new community of Christ that has been given birth by the Spirit. And in Ephesians, Paul describes the church as the family of God. Did you notice that when we read? It came up a couple of times. As the body of Christ and as the temple of the Spirit. Body of God, family of God, body of Christ, temple of the Spirit. And I would say those three images and visions of the church undergird our vision statement. The church is the family of God. In verse chapter 1, verse 5, in the midst of praising God for all that God has done, Paul notes that God decided in advance to adopt the Gentiles into his family. In chapter 2, verse 19, he maintains that the Gentiles were far away, but God has brought them into his family. And to say that the church is the family of God is to say that God is Father. God is our Father. And if God is our Father, then we depend on God, because in families, children depend on their parents for their sustenance. And in the church, we depend on God. James reminds us in his letter that every good and perfect gift comes from God the Father. And we cultivate our dependence on God by acknowledging his provision, by recognizing that he provides for us, by trusting that he will provide, by giving thanks in all circumstances. We demonstrate our dependence by seeking his will in all things, by regularly turning to him and asking for his help. So, God dependent. The family of God, the church, is dependent on God the Father. Church is the body of Christ. We're called to be rooted in Jesus. In Ephesians 1:23, Paul writes, "And the church is Christ's body. As the body of Christ, the church is the physical manifestation of Jesus on the earth." The church is called to reflect. It's the presence of Christ. It's the body of Christ. When we commit ourselves to following Jesus, we are united to him. We are united to his body. He is our head. He's the source of the church's life. He is the church's Lord and leader. He has authority over us. And to function well as his body, we have to be rooted in him. We need to be intimately connected to him as our source of life. As his representatives in the world, our living and being and doing must be rooted in him, must reflect him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, Paul says, "Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Let your roots grow down deep into him." Jesus is the source of our life. He's the foundation for our living. And Jesus himself spoke of the need to be intimately connected to him. In John chapter 15, he speaks of himself as the vine and his disciples as the branches, and he calls them to remain in him, to remain connected to him. And so we receive our nourishment from Jesus. The DNA for reproduction and fruitfulness in our community comes from him. He gives directions and instructions for every aspect of our life. He is our head. That's the basis for our vision. The church is the body of Christ, and we're called to be rooted in Jesus. And thirdly, the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the third image that Paul uses. In chapter 1, he says that when we came to Christ, when we believed in Christ, God gave us the Spirit. And then in chapter 2, verse 20, verse 19 and following, he uses this language of the church being the new temple. The Spirit indwelling us so that we become the temple. God lives in us by his Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, the temple was the residence, God's residence, the place where God lived. above in the Holy of Holies, above the Ark of the Covenant, between the two cherubims. God was enthroned there as King and Lord, and he gave directions to his people from there. But because of their rebellion, God removed his presence from the temple. And for a season, God was not present in the temple. Until Jesus comes in the flesh, God with us, God returns in that way. And then Jesus leaves, but he sends the Spirit to be in his people, to be among his people. And through the Spirit, the church is the new temple, the place where God now lives by his Spirit. Now, the Old Testament, the temple was a stationary building. In the New Testament, God's temple is a living, active, mobile community, the community of the Spirit. The Spirit unites us with one another. The Spirit connects us to Jesus, binds us to Jesus, but the Spirit unites us to one another, and we are bound together because of the Spirit. We are brothers and sisters in Christ because the Spirit unites us, and so we're called to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Later on in chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul calls us to do that. The Spirit empowers the church to live and act and move in the world. And as a church, we can only experience the fullness of our calling. We can only fulfill our mission as we are led by the Spirit, as we are empowered and directed by the Spirit. Because the church is the temple of the Spirit, we're called to be Spirit-led. So that's our vision. That's the basis of our vision: God-dependent, Jesus-rooted, and Spirit-led. The church is the family of God. We're dependent on God our Father. The church is the body of Christ. We are rooted in Jesus the Son. The church is the temple of the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit of God. Those three terms, God-dependent, Jesus-rooted, and Spirit-led, I would say express both our current reality and our future longing. There's a real sense in which as the church, if we are the church, we are dependent on God, we're rooted in Jesus, and we're led by the Spirit. But we want to become a people who experience that more fully, who experience that increasingly as our reality. We want to experience that in greater measure. We want to demonstrate that in our gatherings, that we're dependent on God, rooted in Jesus, and led by the Spirit. And then as we scatter, we go into the world to reflect that reality, a dependence on God, rootedness in Jesus, and led by the Spirit. So that's our invitation, mine, the staff, the elders, the strategic plan, that we embrace this vision and allow it to become part of who we are, our truest reality, that we are dependent on God, rooted in Jesus, led by the Spirit. So then, how can we do that? There should always be a so what when we preach. What are we going to do with this? How can we begin to flesh this out? Well, I began thinking about this past week, and it was an interesting exercise for me because I thought of, okay, if I can come up with one practice that would help me cultivate and demonstrate each of these three terms, what would it be? And I came up quickly with one for the first and the second, and I thought, drat, I would need to combine those for the third. And so I walked down the hallway and I had a conversation with Chris, and I said, if you could come up with three terms, that would help us, three practices that would help us cultivate these three dimensions, what would you say? What would help us become more God-dependent? And he said, well, generosity. Okay, I hadn't thought of that. What would help us become more rooted in Jesus? Table. Well, I mean, that reflects his emphasis at the connection. I get that. I hadn't thought of that either. What would help us cultivate led by the Spirit? With prayer. Okay, well, I had prayer for the first. Went in the hallway and spoke to Rob. And Rob said, for God dependence, I was struck. Tithing. I hadn't thought of that. Him and Chris agreed there. Second one, Jesus rooted. Well, the Gospels. I mean, Rob's a fan of the Gospels. If you've been around here, you know that. And that's a good thing. And well, I had been thinking Scripture. And so he and I aligned there a bit more. And then, led by the Spirit, prayer. Well, I'd been thinking prayer for God dependence and scripture for Jesus rooted, and then I'd have to combine the two of them. And so their answers was very helpful to me. I think if we're going to, it makes sense that generosity or giving or tithing would help us cultivate God dependence. We live by our wallets. We live by our stuff. We depend on our stuff. We're self-reliant people. And if we're going to cultivate a deeper dependence on God, we need to be willing to open our hands, to be free with our stuff, to be generous with our stuff, whether to the church or to the people in our community, as an act of saying, God, I will do this because I trust you to provide. I trust you. I believe that you are the ultimate source of my provision, and therefore I will cultivate generosity as a means of being dependent on you. I deeply appreciated my two colleagues and brothers pointing me in that direction this past week. I would submit that being rooted in Scripture is critical, particularly the Gospels, for cultivating a rootedness in Jesus. I mean, an immersion in the Gospels. Yes, table is important. We'll come to table in a moment. But we learn about Jesus. We see the radical life of Jesus in the Gospels. And while the whole Scriptures, as Jesus said on a couple of occasions, teach of him and point to him, the Gospels is where we see Jesus living his life out, experiencing relationship with God and relationship with others. And if we want to grow in our understanding and appreciation for Jesus, we couldn't do better than immersing ourselves in the Gospels and encountering Jesus there again and again and again. And thirdly, prayer. If we're going to be led by the Spirit, we will grow in our capacity for prayer. Now, most of us probably learned to pray somewhere along the line using the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. You've come across that? Some of you have. I've used that many times, and it's good. But what strikes me about it is it's all about us talking to God. And as I've grown in my journey with Jesus, one of the things I've come to appreciate is the importance of listening prayer. And if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we need to be prepared to listen to the Spirit. We listen to the Spirit in Scripture, but we also listen to the Spirit as we sit quietly and contemplate and reflect and open ourselves up and say, Spirit of God, what do you want to say to me? How do you want to guide me? Where do you want to point me? And as a community, I think it's important for us to cultivate that attitude of listening to the Spirit as well. So, generosity, Scripture, and prayer. And what struck me as we thought about that afterwards is that's the first three. I hadn't seen that before, honestly. I hadn't made that connection before. Those first three that we're going to be dealing with the next week, slightly different order, are the first three values that we have committed ourselves to engage in. Now, whether we'll see further connection between the values and the vision, I don't know. But I felt God was up to something there in nudging us in that direction, and me having that conversation with my colleagues this past week to point us there as well. So God-dependent, Jesus-rooted, Spirit-led is the vision that we're inviting us into. We can begin to cultivate and demonstrate that more fully by becoming rooted in Scripture, prayer, generosity, and hopefully the other values will help move us in that direction as we journey through them this fall, as we choose to engage this as a community. And yes, the table also roots us in Jesus. No question about that. And one of the things I've always appreciated about the connection is the ability to come and have my chunk of Jesus week after week after week, because this nourishes us in a way that very few other practices do. Centering our lives on this week after week, being reminded of Jesus' love and sacrifice for us. Coming here broken, empty, and saying, Jesus, feed me, fill me, nourish me, is what this journey is about as well. So in a moment, we'll invite you to come. The worship team will come. And as they lead us, we're invited to come as well. The bread, I'm told, is gluten-free and lactose-free. and everything else free so that we can all share in it as a community. And I think it's wonderful bread. And I mean, I've been meaning to do this for years, but one of my minor frustrations with watching you guys take communion is the little nibs of bread that you break off. Yes, we leave much for the kids to enjoy afterwards, and that's a good thing. I don't want to deprive them. But I believe in having a hunk of Jesus. I believe in eating something substantial that will remind me that this is... And so I encourage you, take a bigger piece of Jesus and allow him to nourish you more fully. Thanks for having me. It's wonderful to be for us to be doing this like this fall. Would you pray with me?